Hello, and welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode number 51, and this is the place where we talk about all of the things that are going on over at mommybeta.com. It's a place for new mommies to share our stories about beta testing parenthood. And today on the line, we have two new mommies, or I guess we're not new mommies anymore, are we? We have Jennifer.
Hi.
And myself, Natalie Gaffori. And we have Natalie Morris is still taking a little bit of a maternity leave because she has her beautiful, beautiful baby, Ava, who arrived last week about just under, I think, last Wednesday, right? And then Alex is off to the park with Reese because she's sitterless today. So that kind of brings me into one of the first things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the network of support for moms and dads and families, and how that might be changing. We're also going to talk about some fun things, like shopping for baby number two and the maybe not necessary, but fun items that we want to have. And then we're going to get a little serious again and talk about what are the best and worst places to be a mom, in the world. So first off, hi, Jennifer. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. It's good to be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. There's been a lot going on in our world. We've been doing quite a bit of traveling and not so much for fun. My mom was recently diagnosed with an illness, and we've been making sure we've been getting quality time with her and making sure she's getting the best care. So we've been doing a lot of traveling for that. But it's nice to be back home and settling in and trying to get everything straight again.
We've missed you, and we are sending your mom our very, very best wishes.
Thank
we know
you.
That she's a rock for you and for your sister who has triplets. They live right down the street. And so your mom has been actually a really great source of support for your sister and her family as far as childcare and kind of helping manage three kids all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And something that came out recently is this news story. It was on Baby Center about a place in India, I believe it was Delhi, that has a 24-hour daycare. And basically, this is a place where you can drop off your child for a day or a week or a year even.
That blew my mind.
I know. Totally, right? I mean,
how do you prepare for that? And why? I mean, maybe people are in that situation over there where they have to do it. But what do you drop off? Here you go for a year. I've provided maybe you just pay and they get all the supplies.
I would guess. I mean, it seems like they probably have like the beds and the this and the that. And you probably, you know, put a week or two's worth of clothes in there and they wash their clothes. And, mm-hmm. you know, how do you pack differently for a week or a month or a year? It's probably the same kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
because you just
tragic.
Reuse things. But yeah, I think that, you know, the point was that their family networks are kind of breaking down, and that grandparents or aunts or uncles who would normally take care of a child in an emergency situation, say someone's sick or, you know, there's a work change where somebody needs to move for a little while. You know, those are situations where a neighbor or a family friend or a family member would step in most scenarios. But things seem to be changing a little bit where maybe the grandparents don't want to have such an active role. And I think that that's the case here as well. I think, you know, it was very common to live in multifamily households or multi-generational households, you know, in the past where you've got grandma and grandpa, mom and dad and kids all under the same roof. And that's become less and less common. So I think that families don't necessarily have the support that they used to have. And that's why places like this are popping up. I don't know if there's one like this in the U.S. where you can leave your child for a year. My guess is that that's got to be, I don't know, maybe some sort of child abandonment illegal situation.
Yeah, but, it's sort of like the state steps in at that point. It's like, you know,
right.
If you're not going to be there for your child, we'll find someone who can be,
right.
At least until...
But, you know, maybe this would be a better situation for a child than going to foster care or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. I did like the idea of a 24-hour daycare center, not necessarily to drop my child off for a year or 24 hours in a day, but say I wanted to go to the gym at 7 p.m., and my gym doesn't have childcare, I would love to have a place that I trust, that I know is open, that I could, you know, take her over and drop her off for a couple of hours if I needed to do some grocery shopping and stuff like that.
I agree with that. I think that's a great idea. I actually saw a news report, I don't know where it was, on a center like that. And it was mostly for kids whose parents worked like swing shifts. So mm-hmm. if the parents worked at night and didn't have other childcare options, they could drop them off and basically they feed them dinner and, you know, get them ready for bed and put them down to bed there. And then their parents come and pick them up at 5 a.m. or whenever they get off work. Mm-hmm. But I think in both situations, you know, whether it's you want a date night and don't necessarily have a babysitter that will come to the house, mm-hmm. or if you, you know, if you work kind of odd hours and need that kind of off-peak support, I think that does make a lot of sense. And I guess it's getting to be more of a popular concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking, well, it had to be supply and demand. You know, a place wouldn't want to just stay open if there's just one child there. But it definitely makes date night a little stressful when you're trying to come up with the sitter.
Yeah, it really does. It's we've definitely kind of changed our date night frequency and also what we do. You know, if we're having dinner with friends, we will often just have them to our house for dinner mm-hmm. because it's so much easier than trying to figure out, you know, where's Dominic going to go and packing up all his stuff if he's going to go to grandma's or finding the sitter, which we have found to be nearly impossible. We've only had to do it a couple of times because we're lucky that we do have a good, you know, network of family in the area and haven't had to rely on outside daycare, nighttime especially. During mm-hmm. the day we do. But
yeah. Well, I did try. Well, we're lucky enough. My mother-in-law is down the street, but she's not always available. And then when you start asking so much, you feel guilty about it.
Totally. I mean,
not that she doesn't like spending time with her, but if it's an everyday thing, she already had her kids. You know, this is a
right.
She's not tied to this. So I did try Urban Sitter, and I did like it. I have had some success there. Did you talk to Alex about this? I think she may have written.
I've heard her talk about it, but I've never tried it myself.
So it's an online website that basically helps you identify sitters within your area, and you can put your criteria in, and then they'll come up with a whole list for you to sort of peruse through. The only thing I did not necessarily love about it is that you have to search through them and you have to reach out to them. It's not like a Craigslist ad where I could put out, "Hey, I have an, you know, ex old daughter who needs to be watched at this time," and then have them reach out to you.
Yeah.
And I guess sittercity.com does that, but you have to pay for that service.
Oh, that's so interesting.
There's pros and cons to both, but we did find success with it. So I would encourage any other moms who may feel like it's out of your hands. I used, say, like a rent-a-parent service, but I didn't really feel like I was the one being able to necessarily do the background checking and be the first one to reach out rather than not knowing who was going to kind of show up at my door.
Right. So. Yeah, that would make me nervous. I mean, and I know that the, you know, the Urban Sitter and those people screen really well, and that, you know, their screening is probably better than whatever I'm getting from a referral from a friend. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it still makes me nervous. I'm not quite comfortable with it yet. And we haven't needed to go there, but, you know, I know it's a good idea, and I know that in theory it's totally normal and fine, but it just makes me feel a little funny. Did you feel weird about it?
I did at first, but then I just realized that this is just another arsenal for me to look through. No one's saying I have to sign this person on. Right. I met the sitter at a local park nearby, and of course I got her references and checked them out before, you know, having her watch my daughter. But what I also liked is she's a student, and she's and she's basically, you know, in that age where she loves kids. She wants to have kids someday, but she's not sort of bogged down with the reality of, oh, I'm just sitting around watching kids all day.
Right.
Whereas what I feel is sometimes maybe with an older sitter, I might get that. Like, I don't know. So I do like the youth and which surprised me because I thought initially I would want someone that's experienced and older. But after hearing Natalie Morris's thoughts on what, you know, what she was looking for in a sitter, you know, they need to be not tech savvy, but be able to text you on their cell phone and that kind of thing. So I don't know. I felt good about being able to find college students. And I don't think I would be able to do that through my mother's club because I think people are kind of protective of their sitters.
Oh, they're totally protective of their sitters. Mm-hmm. I had to promise people that I wouldn't call their sitters without calling them first.
Isn't that crazy? And yeah. I am even hesitant to put them out there because you work so hard to find these people.
Yeah,
and
I know.
You don't want them to be booked up. So everyone's a little clingy with them.
Oh, I think it's funny.
That would totally be a drama episode. Did you know so-and-so called my sitter without calling me first?
And then we wanted to have a date night and she was already booked with her.
Oh my gosh. Sitter drama.
Sitter drama. Oh man. Well, something that is not full of drama is Gazelle.com, is one of our sponsors. We want to say thank you to and give a little shout out to them and explain to you what that is. Gazelle.com is basically a very easy, drama-free way of getting some cash for your consumer electronics that you're not using anymore. Cameras, phones, laptops, that sort of thing. So if you have something that you're not using anymore and you want to get it out of your house, or maybe you're saving for a special gift for yourself or for someone else, like my mom, we're trying to get our KitchenAid mixer. So we're saving. So I'm trying to, you know, get money here and there. So I'll have my mom send in her old camera to Gazelle.com so we can put it into the mixer fund. I made her a little cupcake-shaped piggy bank for Mother's Day and put some money in there to get her started on her mixer fund.
Of course you did.
It's the only thing she ever says she ever wants is the mixer. And they're too expensive for just like a one-off gift. So yes. I figured we can do it slowly. But anyway, she can use this money toward her mixer fund. She can get an Amazon credit, which actually gives you even a little bit more money than you would have gotten, say, if you had chose the cash option. So it's a great idea if you just want a little extra cash in your pocket, or you want to responsibly recycle your electronics, or both. You know, it's kind of win-win. So make sure to check out Gazelle.com and tell them that Mommy Beta sent you, and get a little extra cash in your pocket. Thank you very much, Gazelle.
And I'm sure Debbie will be thanking you too, Natalie's mother.
When she gets that shiny red mixer that she's been having her eyes. She has her – 5,000, I think, pins on Pinterest.
Of the same mixer?
No, not of the mixer. Of recipes. And like half of them probably use a KitchenAid mixer and she doesn't have one. She's so jealous of mine when she comes over. It's really sad.
Did you get the one that you lift straight up, or that, you know, tilts at an angle, or that
mine tilts back at an angle?
Yeah, that's the one I think to get. The one we got, I don't think does that. And it doesn't really reach the bottom as well.
Oh, yeah. I love mine. I mean, you still have to scrape it a little bit, but for the most part, it works great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really happy that we have one. And that was a gift from my fabulous mother, too.
Fabulous moms. And I'm sure it was on your wedding registry. And we all created baby registries, too, for when our first were born. And I actually didn't do a registry for baby number two because we're not doing a typical shower. It's not in, you know, my family, I think I've talked about this before a little bit, has never done showers for second babies. So it's not something that we normally do. But I really did appreciate Nat's sentiment in that every baby should be celebrated. So Jennifer and my sister-in-law and mother-in-law are doing a wonderful thing for me and are throwing me a little sprinkle in June.
Yay, we're so excited.
And I'm very excited. And I just want to get together with some friends and kind of celebrate and eat some cake and, you know, talk about baby stuff. And I've decided that I don't want gifts at this party. I want it just to be more about the baby and friends and all of that. So I didn't make a registry, but there are some things that I want to get for the baby. Mostly things that, you know, I'm planning on buying for myself, or my mom and Sean's mom and sister have been kind of inquiring onto what I may need for baby number two. So I started a wish list. Jennifer, did you take a look at my wish list?
I did. I saw it. And I was kind of surprised by one or two. There are only four items, but
there's only three on the post, and then the wish list itself I think has like 12 items or something.
Oh, I missed that link. Thanks for pointing it out.
Wish list. Uh-huh. Yeah, they it's not very long. I think it has 12 items on it.
So were these things that you just still recall that, oh, I wish I had that with baby number one?
Well, with the bottles is kind of my number one thing that I'm excited about getting. I really love Nick has a glass Life Factory sippy cup that I really like. And I just think it looks really cool and it's been really durable. He's dropped it a million times and knock on wood, it's never broken. And I found out that Life Factory also has baby bottles. And I just think they're the cutest things. And I knew I wanted to use glass anyway. So I decided that these are the, you know, the glass baby bottles I want to use. I'm a little bit bummed. And I actually wrote to them on Facebook to see if they were planning on making a wide mouth version. Because I know you guys use the Dr. Brown's, but we use the Born Free that had a wide mouth, and they were really easy to pour the milk into, like the from the frozen breast milk from the little freezer bags. And I'm a little nervous about spilling with these. But aside from that, I think that they're just adorable. And, you know, they're kind of expensive, so they'll be kind of a little treat because, you know, we're not buying very much for this baby. So I figured, you know, a couple of things that are maybe a little bit, you know, more luxury items are fine since we're really not doing a lot for this one as far as that kind of stuff goes. And then the Mobi wrap, I'm very excited. Jennifer just told me earlier today that she has a Mobi wrap that I can borrow. So I'm super stoked about that. And that's more of a kind of necessity because since I really want to wear the baby and I'm going to be having a C-section, I can't use my ergo around my waist, which I hadn't even thought about until my doctor said something. So the Mobi wrap is up so much higher. That's why I chose to do that one on my list.
Interesting. I had a Mobi wrap, as you mentioned, and I hadn't really thought of that. I guess the reason I think I bought it was because of articles that I had read about how baby wearing really calms the baby and makes them feel closer to you and, you know, all that skin-to-skin stuff.
Right.
And actually, Tom, my husband, wore it quite a bit. He'd take his shirt off and wrap it around.
Oh, how cute!
Wear around. We have a lot of really cute little pictures of us eating dinner where he would have her in it. with a big soothing pacifier. So we had high hopes for it, and we tried out the different ties. I made the mistake of using it on the airplane, and at first it was great, but then I had an accident like you had with Nick, and I had, I guess, shifted her the way she was in the wrap, like facing towards me, and ended up peeing all over me the wrap.
Nice.
And after that, I just sort of put it away because I was tired of it dragging on the floor when I was trying to tie it up. And I could never get it right with her head, but I had moms in my mother's group who would literally like walk around and like it worked perfectly for them. So I think there's a good chance it'll work for you, and I'm excited to loan you mine if you'd like it.
I would love to. Yeah, I've heard that there's definitely a learning curve, that it takes a while to figure out how to do it, but then, you know, after a month or so of doing the wrap, you kind of really get it down, and hopefully that will be the case with us, because it's going to be. And also the other thing is that with the infant insert on the ergo, I've had a couple people tell me that it's really hot and the baby's going to be born in August, and it's, you know, they said the insert's like a pillow or like a little comforter. And I'm nervous that the baby would be too hot in the ergo with the infant insert. So I think that this will be another good thing, and I'm especially happy that yours is cream colored, because that'll be nice and cool for the summertime, because I'm sure I'm going to be super hot having this baby strapped to my chest. But
yeah.
I can't figure out what else I'm going to do and keep up with Nick. So
yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's interesting. I'm not sure about the fabric. It's not super thick, but the way that you have to wrap it around and has different layers on the baby, just from pulling it up to hold it in place and that kind of thing, that it might get kind of warm for the baby. But
I'm sure it'll get warm, but hopefully not as warm as the other one. We'll just have to kind of keep an eye on, because it should be breathable, because it's like jersey or something.
Yeah.
So it should hopefully be somewhat breathable.
So that sounds like a great idea to me. If any of our listeners have suggestions, we can do that as well. Always in the market for information on new products. Yeah. It looks like you have a baby monitor on here.
Is this one
automatically attested?
That's the camera that we already have, that system. So that's the additional camera, because we have the Lorax monitor and one camera. And then I'd like to get a second camera so we can have one pointed at each little one when they're in the room together. So I can make sure that Nick's not in there torturing the new baby.
I think that's a great idea. That's my biggest concern, I think, with baby number two is not being able to possibly be there the whole time that, you know, the older baby's with the smaller baby.
Yeah.
And what's going on. And you know, when I got my baby monitor the first time around, we did the sensor monitor, which mm-hmm. just sound and the sensor. And I'm really happy we went that route, but I have missed the video because there are times that I'm concerned about, is she standing up? Is she trying to get out of her crib? What's she doing right. in there? And I didn't want to go in there because if she sees me, then of course she's going to want to
get over.
Up. Yeah, exactly. So it'd be nice to know what is going on exactly. So I think if we, you know, have another baby, then we would move the sensor monitor over to the baby's room and then maybe get one of these video ones that you girls seem to really love.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, and there's this one over the drop cam.
Yeah, the I know Nat and Alex have both used the drop cam, but Nat had tested this one and decided that she liked it a little bit better than the drop cam. Just it had a little bit more functionality because this one is designed more as a baby monitor, whereas the drop cam is a little bit more like a security camera. And then Nat is actually using a different one now. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's similar to this Lorax one. It's just a slightly different model. And I think it's nice to be able to have the multiple cameras set up with it. And, you know, this one you can actually hook up to Skype. So we were up in Tahoe over Christmas, and I have cousins that have houses right next to each other. Mm-hmm. And we were staying in one house, but the fun was all happening in the other house. And they're literally that, you know, their houses are separated by, you know, 5 feet. So I put Nick to bed in the one house and then set up the camera with Skype and then brought my iPhone over to the other house and I could watch him on
That's
the monitor.
Awesome.
You know, I wasn't any further away from him than I would have been in a big house, but mm-hmm. the signal wouldn't quite reach. And, you know, I was right next door and, you know, I was a little nervous about it. And I think my family was all a little nervous about it, but it actually ended up working really well. And it was nice to be able to have a little bit of freedom and do that, but still, you know, keep a nice watchful eye on my little guy.
It's amazing what you can do with these things these days.
No, it is. And then I have a couple like practical items on my my wish list, like the Nose Frida snot sucker nasal aspirator.
We have this.
I know. I think that you told me about it, so I think it's a great idea. It's kind of nasty to think about, but
it really works whenever they let you hold them down and suck it out. But that's just the hardest part is getting them to lay down and put, you know, hold their hands away.
Right. Poor little babies. And then I have a laundry scoop that looks particularly appealing because it's magnetic. I can stick it to my little laundry cabinets and then always know where my laundry scoop is for my Rockin' Green detergent. And I have a diaper bag and, you know, some bibs and, you know, just a couple of things that, you know, will need replacing or things that I didn't have last time that might make things a little easier this time. So I'm excited to have my little wish list of things. I have to start actually buying things because this baby's coming in like 2.5 months, which is
I can't believe. It is. So what is this Rockin' Green detergent? Is it?
It's, okay. I use it for the cloth diapers.
Oh, okay. So it's specifically for cloth diapers.
Right. You can use it on regular laundry too, I think, but it's mainly for cloth diapers. It's just supposed to help keep like smell issues down. And because there are all kinds of additives in regular laundry detergents, even like the free and clear ones that can leave kind of residues in the cloth diapers and can make them smell like fish or can make them smell like ammonia or all kinds of different things. So basically you want kind of this totally stripped down detergents for the diapers. So, and the Rockin' Green has been working pretty well for us. So I've got their little scoop on my list because I think it's cute. It's green and it's magnetic. And I like the idea of that.
Very cool.
Yes.
Well, you know, speaking of glass, I just want to bring this up really quick because I have to give a shout out to my husband for an awesome Mother's Day. But he bought me a yogurt maker that
cool.
I'm really excited. It has little glass containers, I think 7 little glass containers that will hold the yogurt. And I got on this because I was sent a book for review. Oh, here it is. Sorry, I had to go away from the mic. It's called Homemade Pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this mom that basically decided that she was tired of giving her kids things that she could make that had a lot more additives in them because, you know, getting them in the store and stuff.
Right.
And one of those things was yogurt. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this, but supposedly yogurt has is at its highest nutritional content and best taste 4 to 6 days after production. Huh. And who knows when we get that, you know?
Yeah.
And how many months or weeks it's been on the shelf. And, I mean, I know all of us are kind of going in the direction of eliminating as much waste as we can. Mm-hmm. And you look at these little plastic cups that I get from Trader Joe's, and we go through a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, the yogurt cups. So I was really excited about this new endeavor to make my own yogurt and also control maybe the sugar that's in it.
See, that's what gets me with yogurt is the sugar. I mean, Alex had sent around an article for us mom betas to look at that maybe we'll talk about next week about how much sugar your kids are getting. And just the amount, I think the amount of sugar in one little container of yogurt is more than they're supposed to have in a full day.
Which makes me so sad.
And it's because it's like yogurt. You feel like you're giving your kids something good. You know, even if it's not, you know, like even, you know, the whole milk, you know,
plain yogurt.
You know, the plain yogurt has some sugars in it, but the, you know, the strawberry whole foods, like, you know, it's not like the tie-dyed Go-Gurt or whatever, you know, it's like whatever you think would be the most wholesome yogurt you could give your kid has like 16 grams of sugar in it, which is a lot. I mean, that's half of a soda.
Yeah. And kids love it. And you feel like a good parent because you're giving it to them. But, you know, then you read this and you're like, crap, what am I going to do now?
I know. I'm excited to hear how your yogurt maker goes because I really thought about getting one of those when Nick was a baby and he was eating a lot of yogurt. He's kind of hit and miss with it now. But if you like it, maybe I'll consider getting one for baby number two because I think it's a great idea.
I'll keep you posted. And I also didn't see – you had a Biba. You have a Biba, right? A baby.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking at any other baby utensils? Like, did you get the baby bullet? Or was
no, it's. I mean, I figured it's pretty much the same thing as the baby cook, and I really like how easy the baby cook is to clean up. It's just, you know, I use it for food prep in normal recipes instead of a food processor because I'm kind of intimidated by the food processor. It has so many pieces and parts, and I just remember it being strewn all around the kitchen when I was a kid and we were making apple pie. And I just
is it on your counter or is it tucked away?
The baby cook is tucked away. It's in – I have like a little armoire where I have my toaster and stuff like that. So it's in there. But when I'm using it a lot, you know, I kept it on the counter for a while because I was using it a lot. The food processor, I've never even taken it out of its box.
See, if it's on your counter, you'll use it and you'll experiment with it. I admit I was very intimidated, but I found it to be so helpful and helps save time in the kitchen. Like instead of having to cut an onion, I just toss it in there, give it a few spins, and that's it.
Yeah, that's true.
But you can do that with your Baba too.
Yeah, that's right. I actually never even thought about doing onions in there. That's a good idea.
I hate
it. But the one thing about the baby cook is that it's small, which I think, you know, with the food processor, obviously you don't have that problem. But yeah, so, you know, I'm definitely planning on doing all my own baby food and stuff again. And I kind of know how it works now. And so I'm not intimidated by that. But yeah, I don't think I need a whole lot of feeding.
What about the immersion blender? Weren't you?
See, that's something I did wish I had last time. So I might invest in one of those because I feel like I'd use that in my regular kitchen pretty often too. I used to make badass milkshakes with one of those when I lived at home.
Used to. You can still do that. I bet Nick would love those. And they're only like $30.
Yeah, I think that's probably something I'll definitely invest in when the time comes. I think I might wait to do Stalitz until a little bit later this time. It's just such a pain.
It is. And they don't need it. So why stress yourself out about it?
Yeah, I started around a little after four months with Nick. So we'll see. If this baby really wants it, then I'll go for it. But otherwise, I'll try to hang off for the 6 month mark just to save myself a little bit of sanity.
Yeah. We did the 6 months. So, and I was happy with that.
Yeah. And speaking of food, if you want something a little bit more appetizing than pureed sweet potatoes or rice cereal, you may want to head over to bakemeawish.com. It's a great little website where you can order specialty cakes for any occasion and you can have them shipped anywhere and they will get there on time when you need them because when you need cake, you need cake. You can send them as gifts. You can send them for parties. You know, if you know somebody who's sick and may appreciate a little pick-me-up or you can't be there for someone's birthday. I think it's a great way to just show that, you know, you love them and it's, you know, sending flowers is nice, but not everybody loves flowers. And, you know, who doesn't love cake? And cake's a little bit
easier
to share.
Yeah, you become everyone's best friend.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, you know, if you have an office thing going on, or, you know, maybe your boss in another city is having an anniversary with a company, and you want to get some brownie points, might be a good idea to send them a cake or a coffee cake. And then everybody in the office will like you. Hey, it's the way to get ahead, man.
It is. And it's great for someone who just started a new job, because then you're sending them a cake and all the coworkers get a cake. And
yeah, that way they can, you know, kind of mingle with the new co. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's bakemeawish.com, and make sure you tell them that Mommy Beta sent you. Thank you very much, Bake Me a Wish.
Thanks.
So now we're going to talk about something that's been in the news the last couple of days, and it's a new study that came out by Save the Children on the best and worst places to be a mom in the world. And Jennifer, can you place a guess at where the United States is?
Well, I only can guess correctly because I looked at the article. But
were you surprised?
I was surprised, but I had to look more closely at the criteria, you know, what they use to determine the rankings. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the U.S. has moved up 6 places from 31st last year to 25th. And I, to be honest, I don't remember exactly what the rankings are about, but I think it had to do with the health of the mothers and the kids, and then also the mortality rate of mothers who delivered.
Also education, political status.
Okay. Yeah. I did think it was interesting that they said a woman in the U.S. is more than 7 times as likely to die of a pregnancy-related cause in her lifetime than a woman in Italy or Ireland.
That really surprised me too. I heard a story on NPR about this study the other day, and I think they said, I wasn't able to find this statistic online, so I can't verify it. I just looked and I couldn't find it, but I think they said it was about 1 in 2,000, or maybe it was 2,200 women die giving birth in the United States. And that number just seems astronomical to me. I mean, mm-hmm. 2,000 women. I mean, how many women give birth a day? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that was really disturbing to me. But you know, the winners of this survey, the top countries are the Scandinavian countries, which I think we've talked about a little bit before. Norway, Iceland, Sweden. They just have really great programs in place to support mothers and families. According to this, that they have in Norway, almost 100% of births are attended by a skilled health professional, whereas in Niger, Niger, it's about 1 in 3 births are attended by a skilled medical professional. I mean, can you imagine how terrifying that would be to be giving birth, especially for the first time, with no real skilled help?
Mm-hmm. No. I can and I can't. It's tragic. It makes me want to rush out and get in a plane and go over there.
And learn how to birth some babies.
Exactly. I can't deliver myself, but
yeah, no, I mean, I'm not necessarily all for the hospital birth. I think that there are lots of other alternatives, and that's not necessarily the best thing for everyone to do, but to at least have someone who really knows what they're doing and, you know, maybe, you know, on a higher level even then, you know, they've birthed some babies before, you know, somebody who's actually had some medical training and can help you if there's an emergency situation. Because, you know, the reason that Niger is so, one of the reasons they're so low on this list, they rank last, is that so many women die giving birth. And it's just a tragedy, because then you have, not only did this woman lose her life, but you have these motherless babies, mm-hmm. you know, and what's the social cost of that? It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's really tragic. It says 1 in 16 maternal deaths.
Yeah.
Compared to 1 in 7,600 for Norway. And it's just, you know, not only access to someone who knows what they're doing, but the supplies
mm-hmm.
and the, I guess, the equipment. what you would need. Because, I mean, think about how many cesareans are, you know, happen here.
Yeah. Well, I think the number of cesareans that happen here are probably higher than they need to be.
Right. Not as high as Brazil, but that's...
Oh, really? I didn't see that. They have a higher C-section rate?
I think that that's because they're pushing. They're very pro-cesarean. So it's very, very common for women there to schedule cesareans, schedule their births, not planning on a birthing. Yeah. I actually saw... Well, I'll find another article and share that on a later post. But yeah, I was really surprised by that too. And then one of the other things I wanted to point out here, this study is done by Save the Children. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that the major message from this report is what they call the hidden crisis of malnutrition. So 170 million kids are suffering from malnutrition. And they said that, you know, it's something that has a big impact on the country's ranking. So I guess malnutrition is the underlying cause of at least 1/5 of all maternal deaths and more than 1/3 of child deaths. So worldwide. So it's really tragic and they need our help. So I'm not sure if Save the Children's the best place for your money, but surely there's some place out there we can find and...
Right. Yeah, I know. I make a monthly contribution to Doctors Without Borders, and they do a lot of work in that area too. So it's just, you know, find an organization that speaks to your heart and to your beliefs, and you know, do what you can, because it's, you know, we can all do a little something. So, you know, that's a good point to bring up, is that, you know, we're lucky that we could be talking about, you know, yogurt makers and baby cooks and, you know, all the wonderful food that we feed our children, because they're, even in the U.S., I mean, there are so many kids who don't have access to that. So, you know, it's a good time to count our blessings and definitely say thank you for what we have.
Yeah.
So this survey comes out right around Mother's Day, and I think that they do that on purpose. You know, they want to kind of bring to the forefront that not all mothers get quite the extravagant Mother's Days that we get. So we just want to acknowledge that. But we do also want to acknowledge our wonderful families and husbands for giving us the wonderful Mother's Days that we had. So do you want to tell a little bit about your Mother's Day, Jennifer?
Sure. So we started off the weekend really, really nicely. We went to the Oakland Zoo on Saturday, which we had a really great time as a family. It was our first trip to the zoo. So that was really great. And then on Sunday, my husband made me a nice little brunch of French toast and berries. And then we went to church and had a nice little afternoon nap, which is not normal on the weekend. So we napped when the baby napped, and my husband was really sweet. I've been asking for, I asked a really long time ago, let's put it that way, for a bench to put in the shower. We have one of those stand-up showers, and I have to like literally stick my leg in like the crack of the wall to like shave it. I'm afraid for my life half the time I get in there. Probably why my legs are so hairy. But he remembered this. I mean, it was probably a year ago that I even asked about it.
And wow, good job, Tom.
I know. And it was so cute. Elle came down the hall dragging this big box. So they put it together. So that was great. And then I got my awesome yogurt maker. And I'm a big klutz and broke my French press that morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was really sad. And he got me another one of those. So you actually have where you can just buy the glass inserts. You don't have to buy the whole thing. So
oh, that's great.
Yeah, for those of you other klutz out there, just so you know.
I've never seen anyone break more things than you, Jennifer. I'm sorry.
I know.
Your poor iPad.
I know. Let's not talk about the iPad. I have long elephant arms, but...
and is that what it is?
It really is. I have long arms for my
life. Elephants have long arms?
It's like an elephant trunk. That's what I'm
Okay.
And my old coworkers can attest to that. But, and then one other really sweet thing he did is he did a little photo shoot with her and made me one of the little Tiny Prince cards that have picture on her with like a little picture drawn of I love you, mommy. And so it was really, really thoughtful and sweet and just a good day.
Good job, Tom.
That's amazing. What did you guys do?
we were up in Tahoe for the weekend. Every year we have kind of a little family reunion with all of my dad's family. He's one of six brothers and sisters. And two of them, as I mentioned earlier, have houses right next to each other in South Lake Tahoe. So we go up there and, you know, have, you know, lunches and dinners and stuff at their houses. And we, you know, just kind of play games and croquet. And we rented a house with my sister and my parents right down the street from them. So it was just a really nice family weekend. We had lots of fun. Dominic got to play with all of his cousins and you know, the weather was great. And then we came home on Sunday and had dinner with Sean's mom and dad and sister and our, my brother-in-law. And it was just a really good family weekend. Very, just a lot of fun and hugs and kisses and games. And my family's all very competitive. Jennifer, you would fit right in. And you know, we played Pictionary at night and croquet during the day. And it was very fun.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yes. And Sean did come through with the massage that I had requested. So I'm super blessed. I made an appointment. I can't wait. I got a prenatal massage and I get an add-on to the massage. So you get to add on either like a reflexology foot massage or a scalp massage. Those were the two ones that I was going between. I think I'm going to go with the scalp massage.
Ooh, that's probably a good choice. I have heard that foot massages can send you into labor.
Oh, I had forgotten about that. Oh, that's a good thing. I didn't choose that.
Unless you're ready to get going.
Right. No, it will be too soon. I'll be like 30 weeks at that point. Too soon. Yeah. No, I'm creeping up on 28 weeks, which I think is the start of the third trimester. So
congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm starting. My bigness is almost justified.
Oh, you look like a perfectly beautiful little pregnant woman.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm feeling a little large, but that's okay. And I forgot to ask you, Jennifer, if you have a little victory, and if you don't, I won't put you on the spot for one. But if you have something that you want to share with us about your sweet baby, Elle came by yesterday and she was just the cutest. She's turned into such a toddler. She's not, you know, like she's definitely not a baby anymore.
I know. And I love it. I am loving just this age that she is. She just turned 19 months. And I mean, I guess our little victory is that she's just really turning into her own little person, you know, and she's talking more. And I'm actually excited that I can understand some of the words that she's saying.
She definitely was babbling a lot. She was talking about something. I understood some of what she said, but she's working on it. She's definitely communicating. That's for sure.
Yeah. And we went to a little music class yesterday. There's a free little class at our library. And she just, it's become so much more interactive, standing up and dancing and trying to do the little hand marks like to wheels in the bus and stuff. And it's just so fun to see. So I guess my little victory is my little baby's now toddler.
Yeah, she is. She's full-fledged like little girl and her hair is getting longer and she's getting really tall. She's very sweet. It was fun to have you guys stop by. Dominic was very excited to see Elle and Jennifer. And then he went, Reese?
I know. That was funny. Nope, she's not here.
Yeah, he thinks Reese and Elle go together. I think that he thinks that you're Reese's mommy. He thinks that Jennifer is Reese's mommy too. So he's a little confused.
It's hilarious. Oh my goodness. Well, we'll have to get them all together soon.
Yes, very soon. And baby Ava, too, hopefully. I think we get to meet her at a friend's wedding coming up in June, which will be exciting. But I don't think the rest of the baby betas will be there. But at least we get to snuggle the little squish ball.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm very excited for Natalie. And I am so surprised she has a daughter. And it sounds like she went shopping the other day because she didn't have anything for the little one because she was so convinced it was a boy too.
I went shopping too because I don't get to buy cute girl things. So I bought her some stuff that went out in the mail today.
Be careful.
I know. It was a little present. So at least I don't have to, you know, be sad about not being able to buy it. I can buy it for you guys.
Yeah. And there are tons of cute boy clothes out there. You can dress them up in tutus if you want to.
Well, he was not happy when I made a dress for Elle. It was my first
beautiful
sewing project. It turned out all right. But anyway, I put it on Nick just to kind of see how it would fit. And as soon as I put it on him, he said, take it off, which he never says. I don't understand why he kind of like knew that wasn't what he was supposed to be wearing. I mean, I don't care if he wears a dress, you know,
right.
he wears tutus on his head at preschool all the time. And, you know, that's fine by me. But it's funny that he had this, like, instinctual reaction that this is not what he was supposed to be doing. So I took a couple pictures and then I obliged and took it off.
Well, it looked so good with his coloring.
It did. It was very cute on him.
Oh, well, thank you for that. It's beautiful.
You're welcome. I can't wait to see it on her. Hopefully it fits. So I think that's about all we have today. Thank you very much for joining us in our little talk about motherhood and things that are going on in the mommy sphere these days. Please join us again next week. And if you want to talk to us, you can send us an email at mb@mommybeta.com or right on our Facebook page. That's probably the best way to get a hold of us is the Facebook page. And, or you can tweet us at mommybeta or at mommybeta. So everybody have a great week. Thank you for joining us and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye. I'm so proud.